World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, what's that? They say different days, different day, same stuff out there. Man, oh man, oh man. Hey, folks, thanks for getting up in the morning, joining us live here. Let me always make this clear to anybody maybe who's watching on video or whatever. If you want to join the show, literally join the show, you have to join it at CoachDaveLive.com. People, I hear from people say, Coach, how do I get into the comments section? Well, you have to go to CoachDaveLive.com. Spencer, if you could maybe show them how to do that, because people are watching this on, you know, we're out there on a lot of different platforms. I don't even know what all the platforms are, to be honest with you. But the home, boy, that's before I had a goatee. The home is Coach Dave Live. So you go to Coach Dave Live, and then see that green banner says join the queue. And when you click on that, then you are able to raise your hand, ask questions, be part of the given flow of the show. Now, hey, Spencer, they have to do Google Hangouts in order to be able to join on that. Yeah, you have to download Google Meet, and that's easy to do. It's a free app, but that's how all these people are getting in here, and it's a little bit more interactive. And I just tell you, man, this education is dialogue. Jesus asked questions. By the way, somebody just said, Spencer just said, you have to download Google Meet if you're doing it on a phone. If you're doing it on a computer, you don't have to download Google Meet. So if you're watching on a computer, you should just be able to go to Coach Dave Live and click on Join the Huddle, and boom, you're in. And you can raise your hand. You can answer questions. You can get your two cents in. Truth of the matter is, and, you know, again, I harp on the same stuff all the time. Like I often say, Michelle says, honey, you said the same thing. I know. And why is that? Because repetition is the heart of education. Say it over and over and over and over. How did you learn to say the ABCs? Because you said it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and then you memorized it. Any song, how do you learn the words to a song? You say them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's the heart of education is repetition. So I try to come in here and continue. See, I can't change the whole world. I can't. You can't change the whole world. None of us can. But repetition. Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that you would fall upon us right now and you would open the eyes of our understanding and enlightenment that we may see and know what it is that you would have us to do, Lord. So all of the stuff that we're dealing with, friends, I keep coming back to the same thing. It's the church. It's the church. It's the church. Shake your head. The problem is the church and the church system. That's the problem. Now, myself personally, I started out as a Catholic. Nothing against the Catholics. But I went to a Catholic church when I got started, and any other Catholics out there will be able to verify this with it. The Mass was in Latin. It was given in a language I couldn't even understand. And we never read from the Bible. Every once in a while, I'm not picking on Catholicism. Hang on. The priest would give what was called a homily. He would do the Mass, whatever that thing was. He would do the Mass, and I'm growing up. I'm 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I'd go into the Catholic church, and it was in Latin, a dead language, they said. Well, I couldn't even understand what was being said. In the formative years of my Christianity. And I came out of that, and, you know, I don't want to go down my spiritual history. But it was never, ever, anybody ever anywhere in church asked me what I thought. What's your opinion? I think I've shared this story with you before, that I was lost, and I was the lector. In other words, I was the guy, because I've always been able to articulate pretty good, right? So my wife and I started going to this little Lutheran church down the road. And the first time ever I started hearing some preaching, although, you know, for whatever it was. And the pastor asked me to be the lector. And the lector was what? He was the guy who read the daily reading. So I'd get up and I'd read the daily reading. I didn't know Christ from Adam. And I'd get up there and I'd be reading the daily reading to everybody. And I'd sit down. And I remember one day I was up there and I was talking about sin and how we're all burdened with sin. And I said, doggone, don't you ever wish you could just start your life all over again? I was about 30, maybe. Don't you just wish you could just start your life all over again and all the mistakes you made in the past? Boy, don't you ever just wish you could start all over again? And nobody in that church said, Coach Dave. Of course, they wouldn't have called me then, back then, although I was. Dave, you get to be born again. Nobody in that church pulled me aside. The pastor didn't pull me aside. Nobody said, you want your life to change? You have to receive Christ. You got to be born again. Nobody. Nobody. What did I do like everybody else? Went to church every Sunday, sat down there and listened to some guy talk. When he got done talking, and I'd leave, say, see you next week, brother. Have a good week, brother. Didn't even know their name. Can somebody give me a thumbs up? Know what I'm talking about? Live my life like that week after week after week after week after week after week after week, having no understanding of Christianity. None. I was told people, I didn't have morality, I had standards. Certain things you would and wouldn't do. Had no idea understanding the blood of Jesus and what it had done for me. That I was born again, made new. No understanding of it. And I would say this. I bet it's worse in the American church today. I bet it's worse. And, you know, I'm opposite. I make some people mad because I say, listen, if you're in one of those dead denominational do-nothing churches, get out. Get out. Get out. Come out of here, my people. Come out of that dead religious system. Can the dead raise the dead? That's what we're dealing with. And no, I don't hate pastors. And no, I don't think I'm smarter than them. I just think this. I just think I got the Holy Spirit and some of them could use it. And I get sick and tired of going to church and having the pastor give me a sermon about what he wants to talk about on Sunday rather than what I need to talk about. I want to go to church. I want to talk about what I need to talk about. Are you with me? And the whole thing's a mess. It's a mess everywhere you look. And people aren't going to church. Why aren't they going to church? Because they're not getting anything out of it other than they're clearing their conscience. I want to hit on two really hard things here today, and then I want to open it up. I don't know what you'd call this thing we do here. It's a fellowship. What does that word even mean? Pull that up, Spencer. What's fellowship? Go to Mr. Webster, see what he says fellowship is. By the way, have any of you out there noticed the crazy names they give churches? The crazy names they give churches, and they aren't even that. Victor's Church. Overcomer's Church. And they're not even that. A fellowship is a companionship. Ask yourself this. Do you feel this about your local church? I pray you do. Companionship. Association. Federacy. Combination. Partnership. Joint interest. Fellowship. My best friends in the world today are people in this queue. And that's happened to me over the last 5-6 years. Because why? Because I have open dialogue with them over things that really matter. Most people go to church and hide what they don't want other people to know about them. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that one. Amen on that one, brother. We're here. We actually know some people who are struggling financially or struggling emotionally or struggling in their marriage. Actually here through this, through the internet, we actually know that. We have people here who don't necessarily agree on their doctrine. They don't agree on everything. They don't agree. Yet they are their brother and they are their sister. And they care about one another. I wouldn't say, golly, I'm not going to help this guy because he's dispensational. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. I'm not going to help him. He's a Lutheran. No. Because, see, most of you don't even know if you're Lutheran why you're a Lutheran. You just are. You always were. You always are one. So here's where I want to jump off here this morning. I want to, as always, I want to hear from you guys. I know what I think. I know what I think. Here's a good question to ask yourself. Why would you go to a local church? Because I believe in the local church. I believe it's God's plan. Why would you go there? Why would you go to one? See, this is the kind of stuff that gets me in trouble. Because I would like nothing more than to be able to reach people sitting in the pew. But they want to, if I was a pastor, I would never invite me in. I'd be scared to death what I was going to say. Scared to death. But I know the heart cry of men and women sitting in the pew, they don't even know why they are there. And they want to be there. And they want their faith to matter to them. And they want to be effective. And they care about what's going on. But so much what they hear in the pulpit is personal. I'm hesitating because I've got two hands up. I'm trying to figure out, Lord, do you want me to? Go ahead, Julie. Don't everybody come in yet. I'm not done. Go ahead, Julie.
Good morning. Like what you said about the local church. I went to a local church and felt so isolated. It wasn't even funny. Like, they would greet you and then, there was no fellowship afterwards.
No, because when the bell rang to start, nobody said anything except the guy in the pulpit.
Amen.
Or some people up there singing a little bit, and then the guy in the pulpit said everything, and then everybody said, see y'all next week, and come back, be the same thing again next week. And they said, well, we'll have home groups, which, by the way, are then controlled by the pastor. I've been in a couple home groups, all right, at churches I was in the past. If you talked about stuff that the pastor didn't want you to talk about, you got called into the principal's office.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Mel, what do you think?
I'm poised here to start a home church, but if I were to consider going back to a regular church, I would consider it a mission field.
Mel, you are that. Amen. See, you just, this is where I'm heading today. This is where I'm heading. Mel, thank you, Mel. Thank you, Mel. Pull up number four.
Is that number four?
Okay. Bible says you shall receive power. Anybody want any power? Well, you're not going to receive power till the Holy Ghost comes upon you. By the way, hang on a minute. Go to number six real quick. Go to number six. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, a lot of your churches are not operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, wait. I'm not talking about dancing around and waving flags and outward expressions and being charismatic. I'm not talking about that because there's more fluff in that thing than anything that you'll ever find. People up there think, they say, I can't wait to get to church to worship the Lord. Really? Really? You don't worship the Lord at home? You don't praise the Lord at home? You want to go to church to do that? Oh, yeah, but coach, I go there because, it makes me feel so good. Oh, so you go for a therapy session. Is that what you're telling me? Your church is a therapy session for you? And ask yourself this, those who are watching right now, do you know any more committed Christians? Let me ask it another way. How many Christians do you hang around who are more deeply committed than you? And I'd say probably not very many. I'm the most deeply committed Christian I know. Thumbs up out there, anybody? Say, yep, that's it, coach. They think I'm crazy because I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. And they want to stay shallow. They want to stay surface, right? And then, man, you get really moving. And then your friends say, you better stay away from him. You better stay
Amen. Away from him. Amen.
The book of Acts says, you shall receive power.
Hallelujah.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What? Are you walking in power? Am I walking in power? See, I think I am because I think the power is what scares people. Because they get around us and we rub shoulders and they say, man, I love Jesus, but I'm not like him. He's a fanatic. He's crazy. He's a religious fool. Amen? Amen? What we're dealing with, most of the church, not saved, baby, they're not saved. How do I know? Because Jesus said, broad is the way, narrow is the gate, many go, and few find it.
Amen.
He said that. I didn't say that. Many go to church. Only few of them get it. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Stop a minute. Are you a witness? Do you go places and hardest thing you can do is keep your mouth shut? Feel that thing coming up inside of you? That thing coming up inside of you, that thing that you want to say, but all of a sudden then you feel, ooh, maybe I shouldn't say it. Maybe this isn't the right situation. No, baby. You are a witness. And sometimes you are caught on the witness stand when you're not even really ready to do it. Scripture says that you shall be witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hey, friends, hang on. Hang on. Oh, Lord, am I getting a download? I'm getting a download. You ever been in a crowd or in a group and somebody says something and you feel this thing come on you? It says, I got to say something. I got to say something. And then you're saying, no. Look, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and now you're a witness. And it's your job to say what the Holy Spirit just said to you. That's how you become a witness. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
You shall receive power when that thing comes on you. Plug that baby in. And what's going to happen? You're going to be hated of all men. Why? Because everybody loves lies. They love feel-good messages, things that make them feel good. I go to church to be shown how bad I'm doing, not how good I'm doing. Let me back up here. Ray LeBlanc, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes and touches you. When he comes and touches you, you're going to be a witness, Ray. You're going to be a witness, right? In Jerusalem, sometimes your hometown, sometimes in Milwaukee. That's Judea. And sometimes to Washington, D.C. And then, Ray, after you get all that right, then maybe you can get on a plane and fly to Haiti. But don't you be flying to Haiti, Ray, till you've done it at home. That's the way I read that. Does anybody else read that differently? And so let me dig a little bit deeper here. When's the last time your pastor took you to the streets to be a witness?
Never.
When? Never. Never. And why don't they take you? Because they're going to hate you out there. They're going to hate you. And I got an email from, I don't know, I got some notification the other day from somebody who was going, raising money to go on a missions trip. I said, where, downtown? You going to go to Newark? Mission trip? You going to go out? You going to ride down to Buckeye Lake, go to mission? You want to go to the Bahamas on a mission trip. You want to go to Haiti on a mission trip. Oh, you want to go to the Dominican Republic on a mission? Oh, okay, okay. How about going with me to downtown to the abortion clinic? Oh, I'm not called to do that. Somebody give me a thumbs up Somebody give me a thumbs up because the coach is nailing it today. Why do you have to go be a witness if there's not some controversy going on that needs that witness to show up and testify? Where are people gone? Outermost parts of the world. And they ain't never done it at home. I credit this feeling. I listened to that. Rob Pugh had Matt Tuella on yesterday. I listened to Rob Pugh, Matt Tuella, and wanted to run the whole time he's talking because that is so beating on my heart. Folks, isn't it time we raised up some missionaries to America? How about a missionary to St. Clairsville? How about a missionary to wherever the heck, someplace in Michigan? How about a missionary to Oklahoma? How about a missionary right in your neighborhood? Why do we want to go on missions trips when the mission field's right, literally, outside your door? Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Hang on, I'm looking at my notes here. I know some of you want to get in here, and I want to get you in here. I had something else. Got to make sure I ran right over. Oh, yeah. You want me to pull that up? Yeah. Spencer, pull up. It says, I'm sorry, folks. Bear with me. I just forwarded it to you. It says Ruth and me. Somebody sent it to me, so I just forwarded it I think I sent it to you, Spence, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Ruth and me. Hey, folks, Haiti, one of the most favorite popular places to go on missions trips. They're ordering people out of Haiti. Did you know that, friends? They're ordering people out of Haiti. First of all, without getting into the details, the national religion of Haiti basically is voodoo. So you talk about going into a deep, dark place. But there's something bigger going on in Haiti than that. And I don't know what it is, and I can't explain it to you, but they are eating people in Haiti. Folks, they are eating people in Haiti. And they have ordered missionaries and people out of Haiti. Now, I wish those missionaries would come here, raise all that money they raise to go over there monthly to minister to the Haitians, and I wish they'd go to the public schools here. Because the Bible says, if you ain't doing it at home, you ain't got no business going to Jerusalem, Judea, and the outermost parts. So you ain't got no business going to Haiti if you're not doing it at home. And that's one of the things that's a blessing to me is Randy is a missionary. Dave and Sherry are missionaries. Steve Deck is a missionary. Clay is a missionary. Betty's a missionary. Where? Here. We're the beacon of the world. America's the shining city set on a hill. And hell, our churches are going to Haiti. And we're a mess here. We're murdering babies here. And we're going to Haiti. You know why you go to Haiti? Because there ain't no accountability. You can go there for a week and do a wonderful missions trip to Haiti and share the gospel and get 10 people saved and then go home and never hear from those people again. No accountability, no follow-up, no building into their lives, none of that. Oh, man, that'd be a good place for some amens. Amen. Okay? Huh? That'd be a good place for amens. It'd be like me putting you on a football team and then never coaching you, never coming and watching you play. Say, I tried, brought you to football. I told you about football. Here, go learn to play it. There's no discipleship inside. Hang on. No discipleship outside the church. None. And there's very little of it inside. And just ask yourself this question. How many of you, I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing us. I'm criticizing our worldview. Why do you think they don't want to hear from Christians? What do you think that is? The devil's in control. Why are they throwing prayer out of schools? And why are they doing all this stuff? Why are they arresting missionaries? Why are they doing all this stuff? Because they're going to the gates of hell. And Christ said they're going to hate you when you do that. Huh? They're going to throw you in prison when you do that. Well, that's the cost of it, man. Oh, yeah, because broad is the way. There's a lot of ways around going. lot of ways around. Broad's the way. When you get up there, narrow's the gate. Oh, many are out there talking about how much they love Jesus and yada, 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 yada. Broad is the way, narrow's the gate. Many come, ain't very many getting in. I'm not going to read this to you. It's a great read. What does Haiti have to do with the New World Order? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much money the American church wastes on foreign missions? And they haven't taken care of Jerusalem. They haven't even taken care of. There are people who live right across the street from them who need the gospel, and people go to Haiti. You know why? Because I'm accountable if I go to that guy across the street. I get him saved. I got to disciple him. Oh, yeah, yeah. That takes a little bit of an investment.
Amen.
So I think about what we're doing right here. I'm trying to disciple. Why? The Lord's called me a coach, called me to be a disciple. Look that up, Spencer. What does it mean to disciple? By the way, root word discipline, to make disciples, go into Thornville, make disciples. What's a disciple? To teach, to train up, or to bring up, to make disciples of, to convert to doctrines or principles. By the way, I get to go to Worthington School, High School today. I get to go there today and go after those high school kids again, right? Discipline. A disciple is one who follows a discipline. What do they call the sciences? They're disciplines. Why? Because there's rules and regulations that go along with it. So we have to go into all the world and make disciples, teach disciplines to Christians, not just get them saved. And the church is full of people who walked an aisle, said a prayer, and were never discipled. Thumbs up, somebody. Please reinforce what I'm saying here.
Amen.
I'm
just kidding. Truth.
Amen.
I know it. How long? Look, I'm not. How long do you think you got to be around Steve Deck before you realize he's a Christian? How long? How long does it take? 28 seconds? Huh? How long you have to be? You know what I'm saying, right? It should be plainly obvious to people. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? But it's no good if you're ashamed of it. Well, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just going to go do it in Haiti. I'll just go over there and do it. And then I'll go over there and I'll be able to wear my shorts, my shirt, because it'll be really warm over there. And so I'll go over and I'll spend a few days over there and we'll have some meetings and we'll do some different stuff. And then I'll come back home and then I'll hibernate in my house and I'll never come out and share it with anybody else. Because I did my duty. I went to Haiti. By the way, can you give me $100 just so I can go to Haiti? Right? You think Randy Lunsford isn't making disciples? Are you kidding me? They're going out. He's going out again. Going out again. Look, friends, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, although I wish I could. Wish I could. One more thing here, I think. Let me go back here. Make sure I get it up here. Then I'm going to open it up. Let me show you a couple things real quick. Pull up number two. Number two. Steve, I've never met Steve. I'm not even sure I can pronounce it. No, that's not it. There it is. Steve Lefamine, I think is his name, Lefamine. He's in Canada. Steve Lefamine's been found guilty outside of an abortion clinic for doing what? Singing holy, 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 and reading from the Bible. See, here's Steve's problem. He should have gone to Haiti. If he'd have gone to Haiti, nobody had done anything to him. But no. He's out there contending, earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered for the saints. It got him in trouble. According to the DOJ, Steve now faces a maximum penalty of 6 months in federal prison and a fine up to $10,000 for singing and reading the Bible outside the abortion clinic. Coming to a city near you. Wow. Let me show you something else. Number six. I'll open it up. And it came to pass, this is Acts 19, that while Apollos was at Corinth and Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, in other words, these guys are out traveling, he shows up in Ephesus and finding certain disciples, maybe they were saved. Maybe they had been to a Billy Graham crusade and walked an aisle and said a prayer. Maybe they had been saved at 12 or 13 years old. Maybe they had received Christ in their youth group. But Paul finds these certain disciples. And he watched them for a while, I think. And he saw what was going on. And he said, pardon me, have you guys received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, wait. I don't know about you. I see two things there. Believing and receiving. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So evidently, believing is not necessarily receiving the Holy Ghost. And those guys out there who wanted to go to Haiti and share the gospel said to him, what are you talking about, Willis? We ain't even heard of it. Huh? We ain't even heard of it. And he said unto them, my goodness, into what were you baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. Scroll down. And Paul said, yeah, y'all were baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had pulled them up out of the water and dried them off, he laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, there's where people get scared away. All its tongues. No. A power fell upon them, and they expressed that power in ways that other people had never seen it. So much so, they archive it in the scriptures. And by the way, all of the men were about 12. See, this is individual, one-on-one discipleship, fellowship. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Well, Coach Dave, I was raised Baptist, and they said that's the past. And some of you are in here every day because the Holy Spirit's all over you. And you don't even know what makes you get up in the morning and come here, other than there's an urging inside of you for truth, and you are drawn every day by the Holy Spirit. Would anybody say amen on that?
Get amen.
Uh-huh. So, say, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is, but there's something that makes me get up every daggone morning. I don't know what it is. What's the Holy Spirit's come upon you? And you're seeing it, and you're feeling it. You don't always know what to do with it.
I was up at 3.
What's that, Bob?
I said, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't wait.
Amen. 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 Right? And then somebody's going to come along and say, hey, want to go to Haiti?
Coach, you're making disciples right now with the huddle.
Right. I know that.
Making
I know
disciples.
That.
That's why we're coming. The Holy Spirit's leading, because we're not being discipled in our churches. That's so right. We need to be discipled in the huddle.
That's right. Now listen.
Amen.
Listen. Because here's what happens now. Look, here's the next step. Then people begin to idolize the guy with the gift. Huh? Look, what you are seeing is a gift. I'm no different than you are. My wife yelled at me yesterday because she said, are you going to go clean that thing? And I'm sitting over, I'm doing something else. I'm immersed in something else. My wife's chasing me around with a fly swatter. Not really, right? I'm a natural man. I'm a fleshly man. I'm just like you. And what you are seeing right here is a gift. So don't think I'm special. It's a gift. And you know why you're here and some aren't? Because they couldn't take the Holy Spirit prodding. They couldn't take it. No, they had to find something wrong and move on. That's okay. We have sold the Holy Spirit short. Man, oh man. And you know why we've done it? Because we think we're the one that are doing it. When it's the Holy Spirit looking merely for a vessel to flow through. Who will go for me? Who shall I send? He said, was that in Isaiah? Wasn't that in Isaiah? And what did he say? Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I'll go to Haiti. No, he said, I don't want you going to Haiti. I want you going to the school board. Will you go down to the school board meeting for me? They need me really, really badly down there. Will you go be a witness for me? Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost parts. Will you start at your school and your local area? Will you start with your family? Now, hang on. That's another one. Because I'm convinced of this. Some of us grieve over lost children. And here's the problem. We're not the ones that are going to bring them into the kingdom. We're not the ones. Planted a lot of good seeds, not bearing any fruit. But the Bible says that you and your household shall be saved. And so some of you, as you pray for your children, need to pray that the Lord will bring that person across their path. That will connect the dots. That will make it happen. Man, oh man. Going to all the world. What's the world? Okay, I'm going to open it up, Craig. Just a second. Here it is. Here I live. Where do I live? Box 744 Hebron. So I got to go to Hebron first. Make disciples in Hebron. And after I get done in Hebron, then I'm going to that's Jerusalem. Then I'm going to go to Judea, which is a state. Then I'm going to go to Columbus. I'm going to go to Columbus and every day I'm going to get a little bit stronger. I learned how to do it in Jerusalem. Now I'm going to go get myself trained and do it in Judea, learn how to do it there. And then after I get that, then I'm going to go someplace really scary. I'm going to go to Detroit, Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the outermost parts. I ain't going to go to Detroit till I've been to Columbus. That's the pattern, friends. That's the pattern. But see, in the minds of people, we love foreign mission trips. Can I tell you something? A lost person's in a foreign nation, baby. They're in a foreign country. And that's why we look at what's going on around us. All these foreigners are in charge. Come on in, Craig.
Hey, Coach, I saw Rob Pugh in the queue. Rob, you're going to like this. Spencer, if you could go to savingguideschildren.com, get involved. Also, I just sent you, Jared, a video about 3 minutes ago. I think it's appropriate. Coach will let us play it. A few years ago, when I started Maryland Salt and Light Brigade with Rusty, I knew there's 108 churches in Washington County. And I said, Lord, will you give me 10? I'm going to go like Abraham. I ain't going high. I'm going to get, can you give me 10? And, so what you're going to see is, my mission is to, help wake up the local churches and get some pastors on board here to, stand in one accord, something that I've been preaching about since, Gettysburg. But if you get involved, you'll see a picture there, of me, in front of a church there. And you can kind of click on it there, Spencer. Yep. Okay, can you play that? Can we play that for a second, Coach?
Sure.
Rob, you're going to like this because Rob's the one that designed this image and sent it to me so I could post it and I take an ad out in the Wisconsin Christian News. So could you play that for a second, Coach?
Hey, this is Craig from Saving God's Children. I want to give kudos to Virginia Avenue Baptist Church, our first church in the local community to let us put our 8x16 sign Saving God's Children, so all this traffic coming up and down Virginia Avenue here in Hagerstown can come and see what's on our website. This is one of the busiest roads in Washington County. And I just want to say thank you to Virginia Avenue Baptist Church. I hope they're one of many that will come around, be partners with us, educate our local community about what's going on in child human sex trafficking in our own local community. God bless. Craig from Saving God's Children.
Craig, awesome! Awesome!
So Craig, the next story,
Craig,
is...
Hey, Craig, when are you going to go to Haiti with those signs? Go ahead.
Oh, boom, Craig.
So the next thing is that pastor had invited me to go a week later, where 8 pastors from different denominations come and meet. They all have lunch, kind of talk about things once a month. And I presented what I was doing with human trafficking. I gave them each a packet about it. And I said, hey, if you want to come on board, I said, we can take this sign to your church. I'll come and I'll talk to you. I'll give you the resources to do that. And so I reached out into the pastors. I was even able to go to their Wednesday night Bible study. Wow. I explained it to them. This pastor here reached out to the guy underneath the bridge who's been living inside that church for the last 6 months. And he's so excited about it. He came to me and he says, hey, can I put lights on that at night so people can see it at night and everything? So that's one thing. And then I don't know if Spencer can pull it up, but I sent an email of another event there a week later. Okay. And we've got a committee that meets once a month in our local community. We have about 6 churches right now that are involved in getting awareness out in human trafficking. And so it's possible if you're willing to walk the walk.
Amen.
Did you have something else you wanted him to play, Craig?
If he wants to, I sent it in an email. Jared was supposed to get it up posted in this area because I post things about what getting involved looks like here from different organizations. I even reached out to Neil Peterson and Harvest Revival, and there's an organization really close to him in Dayton, Dear Diana.
You guys have any idea how many ministries have been birthed out of this little huddle? You have any idea? And how long did you go to church and your pastor never gave you a thing to do? Never gave you a thing to do. Just come here and support what I'm doing. Right?
Amen.
Right? And Craig will never say this, but I will. This has probably been burning in his heart forever. And finally, he found a place where somebody would authenticate it and say, that's valid. Let's do it. And that's all he needed to hear. That's all he needed to hear. Somebody say, go do it. Go do it.
Amen. Raylan
Brown's doing the same thing up in the, on and on. It's going on, folks. It's going on. This is the, wow.
Hey, I just want to say thank you to Rob Pugh for that. He did all that artwork for me. And I just want to let him know. I'm getting ready. He did a great job.
Amen. Amen. Rob Pugh, come in. I didn't know you're in here, Rob. Tell us about your event going on up in Wisconsin. And we talked about it last week. And fill us in here, Rob. Maybe you can pull that up, Jared, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Pull that thing up.
Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. I'm actually 2 minutes away from pulling up to the loading dock. So I can't do it right now. But, hey, Spencer has the video. If he's got that, he could do that. I'd love to talk about it, but I'm just on a...
Okay, fine. We're pushing it, Rob. Listen.
If I don't pull up to the loading dock on time, I got to go to the end of the line. So,
folks, this is a place to connect, especially for those of you in what would be called the upper Midwest, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, up through that... Come and be part of this thing, man, because of the fellowship that takes place. It's a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we're going to continue to promote that, Robin. Appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen.
See, if I get into promoting everything everybody's got going on, that's all we would do. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Folks, golly, you're a missionary. Stop waiting for somebody to tell you it's okay to do what the Lord's called you to do. Stop. Go. 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 Better be ready. They're going to hate you. Can I tell you the truth? Huh?
Amen.
I'm just telling you. Look, I'm going to bare my soul again right here. You know, I want to do Saturday Night Lives. You guys know that Saturday Night Lives. I believe right around me here, I believe there are 1,000 people who are sick of what's going on and ain't nobody talking about it. And I want to do Saturday Night Live. And what is Saturday Night Live? I want to bring people from every denomination around here, even those who don't go to church, who they're sick about what's going on. I want to pull them together.
Amen.
But I can't find a venue. Now, my wife will beat me and say, well, Coach, she doesn't call me. Yeah, sometimes she does. Says, well, you need to go knock on doors. You need to go knock on doors. And yeah, knock on doors of pastors to find something. Just open a church. Just a church. Now, Tom Gill will let me use his place. Pastor Tom Gill will. But I need a bigger venue. I need a bigger venue. And I like a church because you can walk into a church and they actually have pews. You don't have to bring in chairs. I think all around me, I think they're out here by the thousands once the word get out. And I ain't trying to impress everybody with my wit, whatever. I want to give people a platform to do something. I want them to be able to come to some place and say, you want to do that? We want to help you. I want to help you do that. When's the last time your pastor said, what's the vision in your heart and how can I help you? It's always the other way. Here's my vision. How can you help me? Yeah, I can put up a tent. Once the weather breaks, I'll be okay. Once the weather breaks. But I've been waiting for it. How many months? How many months? And I know, I've just been around long enough to know. We did this in Columbus for Operation Save America, a few years ago. And we had a church. And on Thursday night of the night before it was going to go on Friday, pastor called and canceled our venue. So if you guys know a church out here in the Licking County area, I'm open to it. I drove around yesterday. Michelle and I drive around everywhere trying to find. Say, there's one, 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 there's one. Will they open the doors? Maybe it's my own fault. I've never asked them. Maybe they would. Randy, come on in.
Coach, now you see the difference. I've been saying this for many, many years. Between pastor-led and prophetic-led. Mm. And prophetic's nothing more than the Holy Spirit-led, Coach.
Basically. That's right. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Coach, I'm going to give you an example. In the Bible, the word prophetic, prophet, or prophetess is used 463 times, something like that, 430 sometimes, whatever. In the Old Testament, New Testament. The word pastor or shepherd is only used 43 times. So, Coach, that's 10 times more. 10 times more. And we have it turned upside down here in our this model of church we've been raised. Look, we've been raised in. It's 1 to 10. So something's upside down, Coach. We got to figure this out. Thank you, because you're showing us.
I'm telling you the truth. Don't ever contact me and ask for money to go to Haiti. Don't ever do it. If you need money to go to your local town, I'm all in on that one. Huh? Bill Clinton. Those got Bill Clinton, the Clinton. They went down and raped Haiti. They raped it. It's unbelievable. Think of the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that we've wasted in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, all these warm weather venues that people say they're going to go on a missions trip. Lauren.
Okay, so let's pray for a spot right now for either your locker room to come together or meeting on the field, or so you can have a larger huddle.
See, let me stop you there real quickly. I don't know if a church is the right place, because churches take ownership. And people say, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm not going to go to that church. I want it to be Saturday Night Live. I just want a venue where people can come. Go ahead.
And that could be a field. That can be somebody's garage. That can be somebody's, a barn. right? That yes. can be under a yes. tent. That could be, you know, in a, maybe there is a closed down school that has a field house. It doesn't yes. have to be a church because no. the thing is church is now a business.
Yep.
And everybody knows it's a business. And you have people in our age, you know, demographic and now the younger don't want to go there because it's a business and they can see it's fake. And all you're going to get, you're not going to be loved with the mercy of God. And the Lion of Judah is not present. And the Lamb of God is not present. It's Amen. Just, it's just a bunch of Judases with a Bible and betraying Jesus with a false gospel. And Amen. What having a Saturday night live, it's just like, you know, 6 o'clock, you show up on the field and okay, let's start praying. Let's start praising that God will open up a spot. Maybe it's at a park, you know, I don't know. But in the mighty Amen. Name of Jesus, I'm asking you, God, to provide the spot for Saturday Night Live to happen that explodes across the nation, that you would bless. I'm grateful and thankful that every morning I get to be discipled and renewed and refreshed every day by what happens in this huddle. And that when the tush push comes or it's, you know, your first and goal and you don't know what you're going to do, Father, you know where the safety's at. So, Father, I just thank you that you're going to provide this place it's going to be such a blessing because, Lord, you have shown me that what you want to create here is huddles across the nation and across the world.
Amen.
That meet in locker rooms and train together because we train, because we're athletes. You called us to be athletes. Soldiers are not wimps who sit on the sidelines and go, ooh, thank you, woo. Here's, I got a number one waving. No, they're on the field. They're raising their shadow, their shields up. They're protecting one another from getting knifed in the back. They're armor bearers and they're battle buddies. And that's what where you're raising up. And when you go out on the field, you have to trust the person to your left and to your right. You have to be able to get the job done or it doesn't get done at all. We need an O-line now that's solid, not these mamsy pamsies that lay down and say, oh, I forgot. So thank you, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to open up these things and you're going to bless Coach in ways and this huddle in ways that you never even knew were even possible. Because you are the God of miracles, because we're talking to you, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, because you are a good, good Father who give good gifts. And you're a Holy Spirit who leads us in truth and in might and in love and in mercy and in grace. And you are the God of hope. So we thank you for making this vision come to pass. And it's going to be better than we could have ever imagined in the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you for including us in your plan, Father. And we're not in Haiti, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Roger Gates, come on in. Thanks.
Yes, Coach. I just wanted to say that, you know, if you look back in the days of people like Hudson Taylor, when the missionaries went out and they went to he went to China and all that, the churches were doing the gospel in their local areas. They were flooding their neighborhoods and with the gospel. And I want to just say this. If a person is truly born again and they're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to be able to walk down your street without having an urge to talk to somebody.
Amen. You know?
And Amen. You're going to be praying for openings for you to be able to do that. And if you're not doing that here, you're not going to do it anywhere else in the world.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I'm going to tell you that there's so many people in the churches here. So many churches are being run by human ambition. Yep. Not man run by the Spirit of God. And it's no wonder that as the churches have collapsed, the mission fields have too.
They sure have, boy.
And well, I just wanted to say that the first place that we are supposed to be witnessing to is our Jerusalem. But then when you have a healthy church, if it's really healthy, then he will call people to go elsewhere. You know,
amen.
And we're not even taking care of Jerusalem anymore. But that's
no, we're not even doing that. Well, it's because we don't go to Jerusalem first.
Yeah,
we want to go someplace else.
When the Holy Spirit has left everything, you got such a vacuum that this is what's happening. You know,
that's where we are.
And you got Clinton's going down to Haiti. You got Ukraine's a mess because of what's happening.
Yeah.
And you know, these places should have the gospel given to them, and because everything's collapsed, it's just it's a mess.
Hey, you know what, Roger? I want the gospel given to people here in Hebron. That's what I want. Ray LeBlanc, come on in.
Well, let's say, without a vision, the people perish. And without discipleship, we're dead men walking. I'm just looking at a bunch of names in here. Every single one of us, the Jeffs, Dave and Sherry, Laura, Randy, on and on. We're all here being discipled and have gone out into the world and accomplished things at your leading, at your coaching. I've attended churches. Well, I was saved in 1977, full with the Holy Spirit. I attended a great church where we were active, went out discipling. But when I got away from there into another area, I could not find a solid church that was engaged. They're very few and far between. So many of us are in that situation where we're locked into a dead church. And this avenue right here is what's given us a platform to reach our own communities, our own towns here. And we're involved in it. But it wouldn't have happened, I'd be still locked in a dead church if I didn't come across Coach Dave and found out that, hey, I could be an active participant and not just sitting in a pew Sunday after Sunday. So thank you, Coach, for what you're doing.
Yes, sir. That was a chance happening. If there ever was Holy Spirit happening. Bless you, Ray. Thanks for all you're doing up there in Wisconsin. Jeff Klein, then Dave or Sherry. Go ahead.
Coach, here in about a week or two, we'll go and get the permit for the square for April, May, June, July, August, September. I'm going to do it every month this year. And we'll see how it grows since we planted the seed last year.
Right.
You know, all you got to do is go to your local mayor's office and say, I need a sound permit. Go up there, take that PA system and gather some people. We've had people talking about it recently, and I keep telling everybody we're going to do it some more. But also, too, we got that schoolhouse on the edge of Licking County. If you ever want to check that out, the whole cafeteria, you got the whole gymnasium, you get kitchen, everything. I mean, it's $100 to use that place. It is ideal. But that's right on the edge of Knox and Licking County.
Okay, here's the good. We'll talk about it. Here's the thing, folks. Just getting the place is one thing. You know, you have to have technology. You got to have the internet. You got to make sure all that stuff's there. So that's the only thing concerns me. I'll do it, Jeff. We'll follow up. Dave, Allison's.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Coach, in the first half hour of this program, you hit us with more truth than I'd heard in my whole entire life.
Amen.
Sitting in church on Sunday morning.
Yep.
And in that first half hour, you challenged everyone in this queue and this program this morning, what in the heck are you doing, right? And yeah, I appreciate that. And Coach, recently there was an issue that Judah brought it up. Young man got arrested here not too far away by the FBI. And you gave me the skill set to show people what was wrong with what happened, why it's wrong for them to come in and intimidate and use heavy-handedness and try to intimidate people. And you gave me the skill sets, you know, listening to be able to articulate how to argue against that. But, Coach, I also thought about that venue where you had Dr. Frank. That was an interesting setting. I thought that was a great setting, very unintimidating. And lastly, if you go on your mission field and you start in Columbus, when you get to Detroit, make sure you take off that Buckeye uniform. You know, that's all they'll see when you get here, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, no, actually, I got thinking about it. Coach, that's kind of a good illustration. You get there, and people won't hear your message. They'll only hear your shirt. They only see your Baptist shirt you got on there. But, you know, if you go into Church of God, that's all they'll see.
Yeah, that's
they won't
right.
get the message. And so Amen. It's kind of an interesting thought. But, anyways, God bless you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. Appreciate it, Dave. Bob Evans.
Yeah, years ago, back in like 1987 or 89, not sure, but I heard a preacher, a little preacher man on the AM radio about this fire shooting up. I'm seeing it now. It was somewhere in the middle of high. He didn't know what it was about. Anyhow, sky high.
Sky high, baby.
Landed a loss. All the little fire shooting out here. Landed a loss right next to you.
Wow, Bob. Wow, that's it. That's it, man. That's the vision.
They got the place. They got the stage. They got the parking.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, 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 wow. Go ye into all the world, it said. Not come, go. We got to go. We have to train people to go, not to come. The churches train people to come, not to go. Wow. Thanks for putting up with me today. See you tomorrow.